The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness, 650 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to the WrestleCast. This is episode 292, and I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined by my co-host, none other than Mo Meltzer himself, Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Ain't nothing, man. Just came back from playing. We came back delivering some gifts from one of our patients who passed away. We adopted his daughter, so we just everybody on a unit got some gifts for her. She got a lot of gifts. I mean, this girl, this like Santa Claus came for real at her house. But she got a lot of gifts. She was real happy. It was real good to see her, despite her father passing away. But you know, just doing some good this holiday season out here and everything,
spreading joy to the world. Goodwill to this fellow man. So, yes, thank you.
Can't spare that for us on Raw, but we'll talk about that later.
Thank you, Mo, to the underscore Reese out here doing such a good job in the community and being, helping that young lady through a difficult time this holiday season. So I'm pretty sure that her family is very much appreciative of the efforts of you and your coworkers. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all the listeners. Hope that everybody is in the holiday spirit, that they're safe and they're happy and they're ready to celebrate this Christmas this weekend. So Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all the listeners of the WrestleCast and of the CSPN. All right, so Mo to the underscore, before we get into the TLC review, you got any news for me this week?
Looks like we got a lot of, well, we probably got some things going on. I guess it was talk about the WWE, the USA Network being not too thrilled about those ratings and everything. So it was kind of like, The word going around was they wanted darker, edgier content, but nothing like too adult or sexual, but they just wanted just some edgy content. But I guess that was kind of shot down by saying, they were not happy with the ratings, but, you know, I guess they wanted to let them kind of work things out, so to speak.
Yeah, I saw the same reports that they were looking for a little bit more, I don't know if adult-themed programming would be the correct terminology, but yeah, a little bit more, I guess, violence may be what they're looking for. They think that might, help boost the rating a little bit, but yeah, Raw coming off an all-time low number last week. I'm gonna tell you what happened. The show started.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson playing.
The show started.
Lamar Jackson was on the channel, so hello.
The show started. People tuned in. They saw The Miz sitting there reading that Nightmare Before TLC story.
Yeah.
And they digested about 45 seconds of that, and then everybody turned to Lamar Jackson.
Right. It's like, I don't know what you thought that was going to just keep people pulled in. Like, no, that was trash. Come on now.
But hey, you know, when they put it on paper and they blocked it out, you know, it was good shit, pal.
And he probably would think it was good shit, and it was that they would just take out the good, and it was just shit.
Anything else there on the news front, or that's really all you had for the, got for this week?
Well, they posted a job for lead writer on LinkedIn, so you know anybody who wants to apply for the lead job on that show, go apply.
What's it though? What's going on? Put that resume in.
She's out there helping the Twins, man. You know, she helping Major League Baseball, but if she wants to go the WWE route, more power to her. I'm just saying, give me some tickets to WrestleMania, you know. Well, a lot of stuff, you know, it's just a lot of stuff that's going on. I can just tie that in to the when we talk about the main. Kevin Green passed away.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I forgot to mention that actually on Know the Score that I recorded. But yeah, Kevin Green, man, unfortunately passed away. I didn't know he was ill or anything like that. I don't know if it was something that was sudden. But yeah, Kevin Green, man, he made his name on the gridiron, third most sacks all time in the NFL. But he had a little run in WCW during the Monday Night Wars. And according to Eric Bischoff, if he really would have dedicated himself to being a professional wrestler, he could have been very, very good. He seemed to take to it quite naturally in the few times that he did, have matches and everything. It looked like that he was, very comfortable in the ring. But, yeah, man, it was very shocking to see that Kevin Green had passed away.
Yeah, it was. I remember he popped up. He was him and Mongo was training. Him and Mongo was training, I guess, for that pay-per-view match and everything. And I'm like, Kevin Green could actually do it. Mongo, on the other hand, nah. Folks, that demographic was there to see Deborah McMichael, and we know where that went.
Hey, I was here to see Deborah McMichael too.
I'm sure you were.
She had the that's the gimmick that Lana tried to pull off, not quite as well, but very close.
I mean, she was in WCW, and she came to WWE for a brief spell.
Yeah. So RIP to Kevin Green, very, very sudden loss, but made a big impact his short time that he did have inside the wrestling ring. And it was very good, very, very, very good display by him. And, just something that is just unfortunate to see him pass away so soon.
Yeah. That's all I got for right now, but I can anything else times up, I can tie in with the main show. So,
all right, let's get it. All right, so we'll get into it. We're going to start off with the hashtag say no to pre-shows. As we have a huge 8-man tag, Big E, Chad Gable, Daniel Bryan, and Otis. They took on Cesaro, King Corbin, Sami Zayn, and Shinsuke Nakamura. The finishing stretch saw a bunch of sweet offense, including a 6 Cesaro pop-up uppercut and Gable's outstanding Chaos Theory German suplex onto Cesaro. Sami snuck in to try and steal a win, but ended up alone with Big E, who hit him with the big ending and got the win for his team. So Big E, Chad Gable, Daniel Bryan, and Otis were victorious on the kickoff show.
Yeah, they snuck this match on us. I was like, all of a sudden, I was on Twitter, and I saw somebody say Big E. They was predicting the winners. They said Big E, Daniel Bryan, Otis, and Chad Gable. I was like, the devil they talking about? And I said, they might be in an 8-man tag with the other team, Rude, Ziggler, Corbin, and who else? Who's that other partner again?
Cesaro, Corbin, Sami Zayn, Nakamura.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought. Okay. Yeah, so Damn, I thumped it all up. So anyway, yeah. So they just do that match together for the pre-show, and it was good for what it was worth. You know, hopefully I guess from what we saw in the advertisement, this is going to lead to Big E and Sami Zayn having a lumberjack match for the Intercontinental Championship. So I guess because Sami Zayn will be trying to, you know, get away and everything like he normally does.
Yeah, this Friday SmackDown is going to be loaded. There's going to be that Intercontinental Championship match. There's going to be a women's tag team title match. Asuka and Charlotte are going to defend the titles. Kevin Owens versus the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns in a steel cage match for the Universal title. So, yeah, SmackDown is going to be loaded.
On Christmas SmackDown?
Yeah, on Christmas.
It's going to be loaded.
Yeah, coming in after the NFL game, so they're going to have a lot of people kind of maybe don't turn their TVs right away, and hopefully...
Exactly. Don't turn your TVs off, because you got the NFL game, and you're going to have SmackDown right after it, so, you know, just go right on into it. To me, loaded sports day. That's a loaded sports day because, you know, Christmas, that's an NBA day. So,
It's going to be a lot of things going on Christmas Day, Christmas night as well. But, yeah, tune in. Use the hashtag SmackDown Matters and share your commentary.
SmackDown Matters.
Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles kicks off the proper portion of the pay-per-view TLC. This is a WWE Championship tables, ladders, and chairs match. Drew press slammed AJ through a table on the outside. That seemed to open the door for Drew to get the win, but then The Miz ran down and put Drew through a table. It became a triple threat match when The Miz cashed in, but tall Bruce Leroy put Miz through a table.
Hold up, I didn't even cut you off, but that's hilarious. The first action he does that. Go ahead.
Yeah, tall Bruce Leroy dropped Miz through that table like you put your kids back in the bed when they fall on the couch. Tall Bruce Leroy chased Morris into the back, leaving the three participants alone. AJ and Drew battled it out over who would pull down the title until Drew knocked AJ off the ladder. He hit the Miz with the Claymore. Drew climbed back up the ladder, got the title, and he retained the WWE Championship.
Solid match. Good for the opening. I didn't expect this to go on first, but then I realized which matches were on the card. So, looks like who drew the short straw after all.
This was an okay match. I think they muddled it up a little bit with The Miz there, you know, going for the cash in. A dud of a cash in. The Money in the Bank briefcase has become a lot less important than it was a few years back, as we've had a couple of duds when it comes to the latest cash ins. A lot of people were saying that they could have used it as a plot device to help with the Big E singles run. But they did not go that route. So they kind of took it off Otis to put it on The Miz and have The Miz cash in, but not really, according to, you know, what we're going to talk about on Monday Night Raw. But
I think the reason why they doing that because since they don't have the fans, so it's like they wouldn't get that big pop that they normally get if somebody did cash it in and win it, or that big reaction.
Yeah. I just think that they could have done something better with it this year, man. I mean, the women's Money in the Bank as well was kind of a dud. I mean, Asuka won, the match was great, but you know, just the execution of the briefcase definitely had to be altered with Becky Lynch, you know, getting pregnant or whatever. So yeah, they just maybe need to rethink Money in the Bank as a whole going forward, just so they can make that a special you know, special again, like it was, you know, right, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, that was like one of the best, like, just one of the best, like, things about the company. They had that match, and then you had the briefcase. So it was always that lingering thought of somebody actually cashing in. You know, like, we didn't get that feeling like when Dolph cashed in after the day at the WrestleMania on Alberto Del Rio and the pop that he got for that.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it could be a great way to elevate someone into the stratosphere, but the last few years, they definitely have wasted an opportunity to help get someone from the, you know, upper mid card into the main event tier. You know, we'll see what happens going forward with the Money in the Bank briefcase. The Boss Bay is here. Sasha Banks, she is defending that SmackDown Women's title against Carmella. Carmella got the code of silence locked in, and she used a couple of her other submissions that she's learned. Reginald pulled Carmella to safety, though, when Sasha tried to apply the bank statement. Carmella took advantage and got a really good near fall, but Sasha overcame and retained the title, making Carmella tap out to the bank statement. So the Boss Bay, Sasha Banks, retains. So that's two title defenses in a row for Sasha Banks. She is on fire, continuing her second half of 2019 hot streak that she has been on.
Yeah, man. She's really been on a roll as of late. And I'm glad they named the guy Reginald. I said, y'all named him Reginald. Really? Could let him keep a king. They weren't thinking about the African dream and everything, but
I'm surprised they didn't call him like Anthony and, you know, Tony Khan, Anthony.
Right. That, see, we didn't even think about that. They didn't even think about that. That would have been good.
Yeah, I'm
like with Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte. We'll talk about her later. But Sasha is doing and is running everything. She had a nice show on The Mandalorian on the season finale. So you know, girl got big things popping.
Little things stopping. But yes, Sasha Banks and Carmella actually had a very surprisingly good match. I don't think a lot of people thought that.
Somebody got Curry the match.
I don't think a lot of people thought that this match would, you know, be as good as it did. But, you know, Sasha Banks is, you know, one of the best to do it right now. So, you know,
she does the job very well.
Yeah, she can get a 3-4-star match out of most people who are competent enough inside the ring. And Carmella definitely, through her time off, had a little bit of ring rust, but she did look improved over the last time that we did see her in the ring. So, good job by both women there in that particular match. Now, for the highlight of the night when it came to the live tweet, what everybody was looking forward to. Thank you to everybody who used the hashtag NoScrubsCast to share their commentary with color on TLC. The New Day defending those Raw Tag Team titles against Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, representing the Hurt Business. The closing stretch was very good. They tease that the Hurt Business may be having some problems in between Cedric and Shelton Benjamin. Shelton was looking pretty good. He had everything lined up to get the win with the pay dirt. That's when Cedric tagged himself in. He hit Kofi with the lumbar check, got the pin, 1, 2, 3, and the new Raw Tag Team Champions.
Tag and new.
Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin.
Man, Shelton looked like he wanted to knock him in the middle next week.
Yeah, how do you feel about this little bit of foreshadowing or teasing?
We'll talk about it. We'll, We'll talk about it on the Rawcast. Okay. We'll talk about the Rawcast because I want to tie it in because I saw something else there too. So I want to tie it in when we get to that part.
Okay. Well, Cedric Alexander, his newfound attitude, put the New Day on the business end of some hurt. And Big Swole said that she was going to put some business in on Cedric for winning those tag team titles as well. Did you see that tweet?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, Squawk called that.
Like, oh my. But congratulations to Cedric Alexander. Congratulations to Shelton Benjamin for getting those tag team titles. A long time in between title runs for Shelton Benjamin. But
oh, man.
Definitely deserving of this second run that he's getting. And yeah, man, he looked really good in this match. I like the way that it was put together with Shelton really looking good and strong, powerhouse, dominant. And then, you know, Cedric Alexander out here with the new attitude, trying to make sure that, you know, he ain't out here like Ricochet.
We will talk about him too, so.
Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Asuka and Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair was the mystery partner to be determined for Asuka.
Much to the happiness of Shaolin Shogun.
Your thoughts on first Charlotte Flair being the mystery partner, sir?
Oh boy, I was like, man, here we go. I was like, no. So what happened was I fell asleep originally doing this match, but I woke up and watched it again the next day, and I was just like, so fitting that she was named the partner, and Ric Flair was backstage as well too. So, no, it was cool. It was cool. I mean, we ain't seen her in 6 months, so you know she's back. So now we can all groan and why is she here? But I guess she's back, you know, Mike can get some fresh matchups with the women's tag team division. But I'm wondering if it's going to lead to a showdown with her and Asuka in 2021.
Of course it is, but we'll talk about that later as we transition into Monday Night Raw's review. But like I said, Charlotte was the mystery partner, so Asuka and Charlotte are taking on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for those women's tag team titles. Charlotte started off the match. She went after Nia early in the match. Of course, it was Nia who put Charlotte out for the 6 months. Asuka was the one who got the beat down. She took the heat part of the match. She got isolated, and of course, that led to the big tag, hot tag to Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair hit the moonsault. That led to the finish where Charlotte hit the natural selection and she pinned Shayna Baszler. And Charlotte Flair and Asuka are your new women's tag team champions.
Well, we had title changes, two of them so far.
Yeah, this one, I guess I should have known when I saw Nia come out. She had a little bit of the boo-boo face going, but I was distracted because she had that red lipstick on and she was looking so pretty. So I didn't zone in like I normally do on championship matches on if somebody had the boo-boo face. But yeah, she kind of stood there at the top of the ramp and kind of went back and forth a little bit. And then Shayna's music came out and they kind of walked out real slow. So should have been like, oh yeah, they're losing. But, I thought Charlotte looked good. You know, she didn't appear to have too much ring rust. She looked very fluid in the ring. So, yeah, I thought that she looked good, even though, you know, we give her a lot of grief here on this show, and especially Sean Shaolin Shogun MA. But, yeah, it's good to have her back for this little while. And then, yeah, like you said, in about 2 weeks, we'll all be over it. And like, oh my gosh, Charlotte Flair. Time for Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens, Universal Championship TLC title match. Kevin Owens avoided a spear that sent Roman through the guardrail and caught him with a flash pop-up powerbomb and put him through a table. Kevin Owens nearly had it won, but Jey Uso interfered and he stopped him from climbing up the ladder. Roman hit Kevin Owens with a low blow to knock Kevin Owens from the ladder. Roman grabs the championship and Roman Reigns retains the Universal title.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I'm more than growing at that. I'm just growing at LeBron. They're getting their rings right now before the game start. And LeBron just like doing some kind of crazy walk past his teammates. But anyway, great match here. Great match. I mean, I thought KO had it a couple of times, but Jey Uso playing his role and everything, and definitely it's going to lead to something on Friday night. As we mentioned earlier, the match for the steel cage match for the title, he will find his way to get in that match as well too. But yeah, it was a great match. There was a lot of action. Roman hit the padding kind of hard. I mean, I thought he was out. And by the time he reached the top, all of a sudden he come popping up, grabbing KO leg.
Yeah, the ring announcer and the timekeeper boy, they barely got out of the way in time for Roman coming through there. But yeah, this was a really good match. The way that it was set up, Kevin Owens basically in a handicap match as Jey Uso comes down early in the match, gets involved, and he's basically fighting 2-on-1. But he's not like fighting out like Super Cena where he's impervious to everything. You know, he's finding his little opportunities to catch Roman and catch Jey slipping. And he tries to make the most of them in those short bursts and short windows. I thought this was a really, really well put together match. Another Roman Reigns banger since he's been back and been at this, tribal chief head of the table persona. So this was fantastic.
Like, he has a lot of help in his matches. He got Heyman doing his promos, and Michael Hayes producing them too. So they got him looking real good out here.
Yeah, man. I mean, you can't deny right now that Roman Reigns is at the top of this wrestling business as far as WWE goes, as far as stories, matches, character. He's definitely got the total package working.
So let me ask you this real quick. I've been thinking about this since yesterday. I know we're about to talk about this match, but coming up. But who do you think is going to be number one in the PWI 500 next year? Either him, Drew, or Randy?
If he keeps this up, it's gonna be Roman by a mile.
Even over Randy, I don't know. Randy had a great 2020. I mean, the matches he had and the things he's done, he's had a great 2020. Even though we give him grief about everything, but he could be. I'll say running neck and neck with Roman, though.
I still think that the WrestleMania match that he had with Edge, the first one.
Okay. All right.
takes the shine off of his 2020 a little bit more than what Roman has given us. He hasn't really had a dud of a match like that in 2020, you know? So now the build up to the Edge situation was great. All of that was fantastic. Even the situation afterwards when, you know, which led into this Drew McIntyre story, all of that was, yes, very, very, very good. Right. So I can understand where you're coming from with having Randy Orton, you know, in contention for PWI Wrestler of the Year for next year. But I just think it's just Roman, just with the new heel turn, the character work, the matches, just a freshness.
Freshness of the character, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so I think it's Roman. We're coming to our main event for TLC. Bray Wyatt, a.k.a. The Fiend, versus Randy Orton in a Firefly Inferno match. Bray attempted to use a weight belt that was set on fire to whip Randy Orton. He also tried to set Orton on fire while he was in the Bray Wyatt rocking chair. Eventually, Bray was the guy to catch on fire, and then he walked into an RKO, ending the match. Then after the match, Orton then sets Bray's lifeless body on fire to end the show.
Oh my goodness. Talk about having people talking. So here's a crazy thing. So if there's a new app around called Clubhouse. And so it's an app where people just talk. It's more like it's like audio chat. So, you know, you have people on the stage. It's like the people come up on the stage to talk, and people talk about random things and everything. So, our old good friend Alexis Littlefoot, she started we smoking on Bray Wyatt, WWE TLC, and so a lot of us came in there and was talking about. Talking about the match and everything, and it kind of got, we had like a nice little 2-3 hour conversation talking about wrestling in general, talking about old stuff, indies, you know, met a new wrestler, like indie wrestler and everything that she was cool with. So it kind of had a lot of people talking, you know, about, you know, was the Fiend really set on fire? It was like, yeah, I said, you know, he wasn't. But The thing about this match, I didn't think this was gonna be the main event, but someone had made a point out saying, you know, everything that happened at the end of the match, how would they be able to do Roman and Kevin Owens at the end if they just saw the Fiend being set on fire? Who would they even call straight after that?
it was quite the spectacle here to see first the Inferno itself. This was done a little bit differently. I mean, we're used to Inferno matches where the ring and the ring posts are on fire during the event, but this was not the case here. As it took about maybe 5 minutes or so before there was even any fire, and then when there was fire, it was everywhere. It was in the ring. It was on the behind the barricades. I mean, there was fire.
I like the setup was real nice.
The setup was very nice. So, I thought the visual was fantastic. The way that it looked with that fire and everything going off was great.
Here's a secret that you might not know. They did that in the afternoon. So
right.
That was done in the afternoon. So, you know, we watched that live. It was already taped.
The unfortunate thing about it is that it just continues the same way that Bray Wyatt's been booked the whole time he's been in WWE. He never wins the big match. This is his match, yeah. And he still got beat. Like, come on. Right. What is going on here? Why do they continue to treat this character this way as such a, we can beat him as many times as we need to?
Wait, not even against Cena, he didn't win?
Heck no, he didn't win against Cena.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
So, you know, it's just one of those deals where it's just like, okay, when is he ever going to be the one to come out on the other side in one of these big time matches? And again, he comes up short in his own match. I just don't understand how they book him.
Exactly. But no, but they all continue in the story though. So it's not, I don't think it's probably the big one because they all continue in the story, so to speak.
Right, right. But it just seems like in a situation like this, in a match that is tailored for Bray Wyatt, is like, you know, when it, since, you know, the Undertaker's no longer here, somebody has to adopt all his gimmick matches. It seems like that, you know, that this would have been the one that Bray Wyatt would have came out on top on, but that was just not the case with the way that this was laid out and played out. But Randy Orton being his normal devious ass self, arsonist, murderer, there's a long list of things that we can add to the Randy Orton
list. He's like, of accolades. He's like watching him murder man on TV.
Yeah, so what'd you feel about the show? How your overall thoughts on TLC as a whole?
It was solid. I enjoyed it. I went back and watched, you know, I watched a couple matches the next day, Hurt Business, and New Day, rewatched Kevin Owens and Roman again. You know, this is you know, watched again just to see it again, just because I just wanted to just watch them again. It was just, like I said, a solid pay-per-view. It kind of still gave us some openings for what's to come. What came on last night and then was coming up in the rest of the week for SmackDown. So we'll have some eyes on the product going forward.
Yeah, I thought it was a real good show as well. I mean, you know, the last match is one of those things where, you know, you have to kind of realize what you're watching and then take it for what it was. So it's something completely different than the other five matches that were on the show. But I thought that up until then, yeah, those other five matches were very, very strong. The two TLC matches, even though the first one was a little bit overbooked, I still thought it was good. The second one with Roman and Kevin was excellent. Sasha Banks and Carmella, great. Hurt Business against the New Day, fantastic. So yeah, I thought that this was a really strong show. And then the, you know, spectacle of the Fiend getting set on fire is kind of the cherry on the top. A little bit of housekeeping before we move on to Monday Night Raw on the Rawcast. It was a three-way tie. this who you got for TLC as Mo to the underscore Reese, Jade to the Max, and myself, we all got 4 out of 6 matches right, so we're all winners when it comes to the TLC who you got. So congratulations, Mo to the
underscore Reese, I would have won,
Jade to the Max.
I would have won if I had went the other direction with Asuka and Charlotte beating Nia and winning over Nia and Shayna. I did it on the push though. We had a three-way tie there. Myself, Sean, and Dwayne, we had a three-way tie there too. So, and then when you posted it, he was like, wait, how you have two different choices? I'm like, well, I kind of changed my mind toward the end of the week. They can redo their our things too. That our picks too, as well. So I was like, I might want to change my pick with this one.
Yeah. I started out strong. You know, I definitely improved from my last outing where I only got one right. So I was definitely pleased about that. I thought Jason Max was gonna eke it out. But
right, I thought so too.
But
nope, y'all didn't pick Randy.
No, we
slept on Randy. y'all slept on Randy. I was like, all right. I was like, okay. And the next thing you know, boom. Because everybody went. I was the only one who, out of ours and in the push, who picked Randy. And I'm just looking like, I said that was the saving grace right there.
Yeah, so who you got? Always a lot of fun. Thanks to Ms. Jade Cinemax for playing and being our third person. So always makes it a lot more fun the more people we have involved. And again, thanks to everybody who used the hashtag NoScrubsCast to share their commentary with color on TLC. So now it's time to move over to Monday Night Raw, hashtag the Rawcast. Charlotte gets some promo time after a recap of her return. She says she is in the Thunderdome for the first time, and what would it be without the Queen? She is a champion at her core, and nothing has changed. When a friend asks for help, though, and there is something in it for Charlotte, all they have to do is ask, and that friend happens to be Asuka. So Asuka comes out, she's dancing, she's smiling. The two women hug in the middle of the ring. Asuka speaks Japanese and calls herself the double champion of today. She says Nia and Shayna were not ready for Asuka and they were not ready for Charlotte. Charlotte brings up the Raw Women's title, but she gets cut off by Nia Jax. Nia Jax is so excited to see Charlotte. She said it took 6 months to heal that arm, but it didn't cure that robotic voice of hers. Charlotte the Robot expresses that she kicked Nia's ass at TLC. Nia says not to get too comfy because Sansa isn't the only one with a naughty or nice list. They have one too, and they're here to hand out season's beatings. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, who I found out have the greatest tag team name ever in the history of tag teams. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, a.k.a. the Sexy Muscle Friends, has something to say. She tells Dana that something looks different. Dana says, no, nothing looks different. They look the same. But Nia and Shayna look a little different. Dana tells Nia and Shayna to move over. Let someone else have a chance at those women's tag team titles. Charlotte is curious to see this match between Dana and Mandy and Nia and Shayna. And so we go to the match right now as the Sexy Muscle Friends, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, take on Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. Dana goes to the top rope, senton into a cover for a two count, but Nia pulls her out of the ring. Mandy flies off the apron with a kick. Dana cartwheels and lands the elbow. Dana then rolls back into the ring, tries for the pin. That gets two count. Shayna then hits her with the backbreaker. Shayna tries to step on the elbow, but Dana moves. She sends Shayna's head into the bottom turnbuckle and rolls her up for another two count. But then Shayna transitions out of that cover into the Carafuda clutch. And Dana Brooke has to tap immediately. So Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are your winners. Your thoughts, Mr. Motita _ Reese, on Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax picking up the win here at night after losing the women's tag team titles?
Not surprised at all, but Asuka was determined to get that Sexy Muscle Friends over. And she just kept, the way she just kept saying it, you know, but solid match. Guesses this will lead to more. Guesses competition. They get competition needed for these women's tag team title division.
Yeah, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose have, you know, there's actually one established tag team on each brand. Okay, so Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose are the established tag team on Raw. The Riot Squad are the established tag team on SmackDown. So that leads to those are going to probably be the first two natural contenders for the women's tag team titles.
Right.
But it looks like the Riot Squad is going to get the first opportunity at the titles, and then maybe if the defense is successful, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose will be next. What do you feel about that tag team name they have? Did Samoa Joe just make that up out of the blue, or did they like coin that themselves? Like, where did this come from? I love it.
I'm sure you do, but I'm sure that will be on a t-shirt soon.
Yeah, it's very fitting, though, because, I mean, if you think about it, they always come out, they're always flexing. They're both, you know, former, you know, fitness model champions and everything like that. So, yeah, the name fits, and I like it, and it sticks, and it works for me. Nia and Shayna, they stare down Charlotte from the ring. Charlotte is still at the commentary booth. Mandy and Dana then sneak up from behind and send Nia and Shayna over the top rope. So that is our, you know, end of our
Dana Brooke match. She recovered kind of quick from that finisher move.
Well, you know, when nobody has their arm wrapped around your throat, it's a lot easier to recover when you can breathe. So, you know, solid match here. I think that Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, even though Mandy Rose had a little bit of ring rust, you could tell that she was maybe a step or two off here. They're establishing their chemistry, trying to be, you know, more of a true tag team and not just two singles performers thrown together. So I could see big things coming for them, but they probably need a few more weeks of seasoning to get everything worked out where they might be viable tag team contenders for the titles going forward. Backstage, there's a dude with a New Day shirt on. The Hurt Business come up to him. They rip the shirt off of him. Tell him to make that man look like a champion. So MVP puts a Hurt Business shirt on this young man. Classy them up really quickly there. After a break, the Hurt Business, they head to the ring for some MVP lounge love. They want to celebrate their title win. Shelton says that last night they showed why they are better than any team in the locker room. Cedric says that especially they're better than a New Day. The come up is over because Prime Alexander is here now. No more pancakes and unicorns. They are champagne and custom made suits. Bobby Lashley says they are the most dominant force in the WWE, and get used to seeing this. They have proven their dominance as far as the U.S. title goes. He says he can guarantee there isn't a man alive that can beat him for the title. So a photographer comes in the ring and takes a few candid shots of the crew. R-Truth stands tall on the corner to be in the picture as well until some of the jobbers come out to chase R-Truth around the ring and backstage for the 24/7 title.
R-Truth is a nut. Can all of a sudden you, the camera pan, that they pan out, you know, you see it's R-Truth.
Well, I mean, it was a photo of black champions with their title belts. So, I mean, he had all right to actually crash the photo.
So what do you think about Cedric calling himself Prime?
Like Dion Prime Sanders? Like Prime Time? I didn't get it, but okay.
He said, I guess he said Prime, like he's...
Yeah, he's like reached his peak. Yeah. Hey, man, like I said last week during Who You Got, I love the new attitude. I love the new swag. I love the new aggression from Cedric. I thought that would be what got them over the top versus the New Day, and I proved to be right. I have no problem with this new attitude from Cedric Alexander.
But see, Bobby Lashley, look, he wanted to smack him in the middle next week, too. Because he was talking, and he just had to look in his face like, if we don't shut the hell up.
Yeah, now, see, that's what I don't like. I don't like that they're trying to already, you know, hint at this. Like I said on Twitter, Cedric Alexander is the Rock of the Hurt Business. I can't wait till he gives MVP that self-portrait of himself. But yeah, this is kind of like what they're kind of trying to build. Like, you know, you got this dude who's the newest member, but he is the hot shot. Feels like he's, you know, head and shoulders above everybody. He's talking big and you know, kind of overshadowing the collective. Seems a little early to be trying to tell that story, but oh well.
Right. Also, Shelton Benjamin dedicated his tag team title win to Shad Gaspard, the late Shad Gaspard. Showed him taking pictures with his Shad's son on social media. So that was a good look for him.
Yeah, for sure, man. Shelton Benjamin, classy dude. you know, there's nothing more that needs to be added to that. Just you know, just what kind of a man that Shelton Benjamin is, thinking of others in, you know, such a, you know, pivotal moment in his own career, getting back to the top with the title in WWE. But yeah, that was pretty cool. Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle come out. They're the Hardy Bros. Riddle is digging the celebration, but they're doing a few things wrong, meaning the Hurt Business. Like, why are they spending so much time at the club? He says they can be chilling and relaxing with the homies. Riddle says they can get toasted, listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, or watch the Dave Chappelle comedy show. He says there is no reason to spread negativity and be bullies. We are all self-aware carbon matter on a rock hurling through the darkness of space. MVP says Riddle doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Jeff says there are more important things in life than status and money. They'd rather die full of their pride rather than live a life of greed. They got to fight with one thing that is worth more than anything they can ever buy, and that's their faith. So, yeah, Matt Riddle and Jeff Hardy.
I did not understand that promo whatsoever. He was just talking a bunch of rubbish.
Well, you know, when people get elevated and they start thinking.
Yeah, he deeper, was definitely elevated. They start, like I say, he was in a cloud higher than all of us.
They start speaking and thinking deeper than we can comprehend. You know, we don't get it, but it made perfect sense to them.
He was definitely on the cloud higher than us. Talking
about our man Angel Garza, he cuts a promo backstage with Sarah, giving her a rose and offering an interview under the mistletoe later. Sarah acts intrigued and interested. So that brings us to Angel Garza versus Drew Gulak. Super kick to Drew Gulak, double underhook, wing clipper, and Angel Garza picks up the win over Drew Gulak. Seeing Angel Garza just made me realize one thing.
What's that?
I miss Zelina Vega.
No, bro. They was hating on the OnlyFans, so Vince said she had to go.
I don't know what they're going to do with Angel Garza. I think he's got a lot of promise, but, it looks like creative is trying to do this slow burn with the, you know, Lothario offering the, you know, the ladies man gimmick and everything like that. But I don't see the end game to this right now. So he just appears to be just somebody on the show right now. But maybe they'll begin to flesh this out next month. Maybe they'll have a clear direction for our man, Angel Garza. Backstage, AJ and Tall Bruce Leroy have a reaction to The Miz entering himself into the match last night. AJ was hot. He was livid. He was very emotional. Miz screwed him out of being the champion. Charlie asked him the tough questions. Why would AJ join Miz on Miz TV next? AJ wants to know what he has to say for himself. So back to the ring, The Miz and Morrison welcome us to Miz TV. Miz talks about failing and apologizes about it. He says this is not the only apology that needs to be given out, though. Miz welcomes out AJ Styles. Miz wants to explain himself. He's usually not an impulsive man, but he thinks AJ would have done the same. AJ tells him to shut his mouth. Miz may be the biggest idiot on earth. He's selfish and incompetent. He cost AJ the WWE Championship and cashed in his Money in the Bank contract, and they both lost. Miz knows this. He says that contract was everything. 10 years ago, he cashed in and won. He main evented at WrestleMania because of it. This was supposed to be the same stepping stone. For 15 years, he has dedicated himself to gain the respect, to be the poster child of the WWE, and nobody respects him or cares. But if he cashes in at the right time, he becomes champ, and maybe they will respect him. Everyone and he would have taken Raw to new heights, but he can't do anything about it now. He can only make it right. So with everything he's got, every ounce of dignity, he apologizes. They both were robbed. He blew it. Miz wants to give a gift to AJ. He wants to offer AJ a co-star spot in the new Marine. Tall Bruce Lee Roy yells, not to defend John Morrison. He's the one that cashed in a briefcase. Morrison argues with AJ. AJ wants to fight him, offering him a thunder cookie. Morrison talks about more food and fighting metaphors. Miz says that Tall Bruce Lee Roy is right. Morrison cashed it in, not the Miz. He is the only person who can cash in the money in the bank contract, and he demands his contract right here, right now, be given back to him. So he wants to basically a redo. Drew McIntyre comes down to read some poetry, calling it The Nightmare After TLC. He, Sheamus, and Keith Lee take part in reading a verse each. Sheamus says that everything after 3 a.m. was a blur. So Drew, Sheamus, and Keith Lee, they get up on the apron. They get into the ring, and of course we have our big brawl as they clear the ring. Sheamus wants to bro kick the Miz, but AJ Styles drop kicks Keith Lee into Sheamus, not allowing the bro kick to happen. Of course, this pushes Sheamus off. Backstage, Keith Lee and Sheamus argue over trust. Drew comes in between the two, saying that he'll knock them both on their asses. He defends Keith Lee while he and Sheamus argue that they don't trust one another. Drew tells Sheamus to go elsewhere and calm down. Drew turns to Keith Lee and basically says that, hey man, he knows it was an accident. You know, Sheamus can be a little hot-headed, but he's good. Just trust him. All right, so what did you think about that little piece of business?
Oh boy, a lot of pieces of business there. Miz apologizing to AJ was definitely not my bingo call for 2020. And then he tried to use the loophole and say, hey, Morrison cashed money in the bank, so it shouldn't count. Second piece of business. Now we got, still got the button issues between Keith Lee and Sheamus. I don't know why wrestlers ever do that. If the heel wrestler bumps one of the face wrestlers into the other face wrestler, and they'll never see the thing about it's a mistake. They just look at it like, you bumped into me, you hit me, you did this, you did that. And I'm like, come on now, you know what it was. Why are we supposed to go? But that's Sheamus for you. So looks like we're still going to continue Sheamus and Keith Lee going forward as being the undercard of this whole rivalry here.
Definitely looking like Keith Lee may be positioning himself to possibly break rank and maybe challenge Drew for the title. It looks like they may be trying to set that up a little bit. Maybe that's the reason why Vince sent him down to the Performance Center to get a little bit more polished, because he wants to see him in that main event spot, maybe after the Royal Rumble at a bigger event, and he wants Keith Lee to be ready for it. So there's a lot of things coming down the line for Keith Lee, I think, when it comes to this, because he's back into the quote-unquote main event program with Drew again. T-Bar versus Ricochet.
Because it's about the balance of power. And a man like Ricochet with Retribution definitely
dynamic. Whoa. Ricochet right off the bell going after the larger opponent, who Joey's going to have the power advantage.
Yes, he will. Oh. Ricochet's bringing all he's got.
Smart here by Ricochet, trying to take away the knee, and he's got T-Bar down to a knee. Yes,
T-Bar arguably the most frightening member of Retribution.
You get what you deserve.
Oh, and T-Bar catches Ricochet. Knees right to the ribs.
Driving those ribs into the kidneys.
Sickening impact. Tossing Ricochet.
I saw the look of satisfaction on the face of the leader of Retribution, Mustafa Ali.
Well, he needs to join Retribution.
Over the top rope to the outside.
Ricochet has tried to create an opening for himself, but Ricochet has taken quite the beating at the hands of T-Bar. Look out!
Slapjack trying to get involved.
Goes Mace.
Oh, now big Mace. Mace on the outside. And Ricochet takes down Mace.
Oh, he's got a set.
A big broke by T-Bar.
Or a gargantuan boot.
And this has been the brutal reality of dealing with Retribution. It's not just one.
Stop thinking with your heart. Think with your mind, you fool. You belong with us. When are you going to learn?
No.
Ricochet's holding out from Ali.
Ricochet is defiant to the end.
He's not going to learn today, apparently.
All right, now T-Bar trying to wrench away Ricochet.
Up goes Ricochet.
Up on the shoulders of T-Bar. Oh, and a knee right to the jaw. Cover. And T-Bar dispatches Ricochet.
Here's your winner, T-Bar.
Circling. Ricochet, when are you going to learn? Retribution is not your enemy. We are your ally. You will either join us or you will end your existence.
This is becoming a serious moral dilemma.
It's not a moral dilemma, it's a dilemma of survival. He needs to realize whether he wants to survive or not.
T-Bar grabs a mic. Retribution enters the ring. T-Bar says they are not the enemy. They are the ally. He will join them or they will end his existence.
Yeah, so basically Ricochet is saying that he has to sit and think about this whole thing, joining he has to think about it.
Yeah, he was saying that now, you know, they've been out here giving them these ass whoopings every week. That 2 weeks ago, if they asked him about joining Retribution, he would have been like, hell no. But this week, now going forward, he actually has to sit there and think about the answer. So, yeah, he was pretty emotional on Raw Talk. R-Truth, the best. Richard O'Shea, I believe in you, man. yeah, so if you get a chance, that actually might be a little bit of foreshadowing for the end of this program. So stay tuned for the starting promo. Early in the day, the New Day are interviewed in the back. They're happy for the Hurt Business. They says they will bounce back because that's what they do. Jeff Hardy and Riddle taking on Bobby Lashley and MVP. Jeff kicks MVP away. Swanton bomb to Lashley, but he misses it. Lashley goes for a spear, but Jeff goes for the twist of fate. But Lashley counters that with the full Nelson, and Jeff has to tap out. So Bobby Lashley and MVP are your winners. We come back. Elias and Jackson Ryker in the ring. Elias says his music is powerful. Tonight, Ryker has a match, and before this match, Elias would like to, well, we don't know what he would like to do because he's interrupted by Grand Metalik and Lindsay Dorado. So we get Grand Metalik versus Jackson Ryker. Lindsay plays the guitar for Elias as Ryker clotheslines Metalik, then chokeslams Metalik and covers him for the 1-2-3. Does anybody care about Jackson Ryker? A show of hands, please, in the audience. Nobody? Nobody? Okay, thank you. Randy Orton, he makes his entrance. He looks at the spot on the ring where he burned his friend, the Fiend. Orton has been called a man of many different things, he says. Last night, he proved that he is each and every one of those things when he burned the Fiend alive. Orton says he's not normal. Last night, he enjoyed every single second as he stood by and watched the Fiend burn. It was right there, says Orton, exactly where it happened. And if he closes his eyes, he can see and still smell it. He says burning flesh has a tendency to linger. He didn't sleep last night because the voices in his head were gone. His lullaby, they don't exist anymore. The only thing he hears is the sound of the Fiend gasping for his last breath. The Fiend is no more, and Orton is the evil SOB that took him out. The lights go out in the stages as Orton whispers, no, 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 no. They come back on, and Alexa Bliss is on a swing set in the middle of the ring. She grins, wondering if Orton was expecting someone else. He built this set for her. It's Alexa's playground. She asked Orton to come play. Bray could be at a tanning salon or he could be at the beach, but she hopes he doesn't get sunburned. Or he could be at his favorite restaurant eating his favorite food, barbecue. Orton is right. It was right here where you can still smell it. Funny, Bray isn't here now. It's almost as if he was absorbed into the mat under the ground, under each layer of the earth. He's home, but if he ever leaves home, he may come back to her playground, and if he does, it'll be like nothing you've ever seen before. How do you get a whole swing set in the ring in like
that quick? I was just thinking about that. I was like, you had, they must have had that thing on standby, and then they got it in there and took it right back out. That was quick.
Yeah, it's amazing what that floor production crew can do, the amount of time that they can operate. I mean, think about it. They can go from a match ending, commercial break. Commercial break is usually about, 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes usually worth of commercials. And by the time we come back, they'll have the ring all set up for like the Kevin Owens show with the, with the carpet over the ropes and chairs and signs.
Well, I mean, if you went to a live show, you definitely would see how to get it set up real quick. I mean, they had those teams moving quick. You'd be like, they'd be gone. And you'd be like, damn. I'm like, so that's how y'all do this? And so quick, it'd be back. Everything's be all made up. It's like, like it was no sweat.
Yeah, definitely a lot of talent hanging out around the production of WWE Live TV for sure. Next up, we have a women's tag team match as Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans take on Asuka and Charlotte. Peyton Royce basically said that she demanded this match and she's the reason why they're getting this match after toiling their last couple of weeks over on main event. Charlotte looks for the figure four, but Peyton rolls her up for a two count. Charlotte then trips Peyton up. She applies the figure four, bridges into the figure eight, and unfortunately, Peyton Royce has to tap out.
Major girl tap. Tap out.
How come it couldn't have been Lacey Evans? Why couldn't you make Lacey Evans tap out? Man, Charlotte backdropped Lacey Evans. It looked rough because Lacey Evans landed real high on her neck and shoulders. Looked like she kind of got hurt. Lacey Evans had a couple of moments in this match that weren't her best. A couple of moves that she didn't pull off so clean. Couple of moves that she took that she didn't take so clean. So, maybe Lacey Evans is the one who needs to go back down to the Performance Center for a little bit.
Hold on. Did we mention in the TLC thing how Billy Kay was trying to lobby to be Asuka's partner?
Oh, no, we didn't. I skipped over that part.
She definitely tried to lobby to be her partner, and I'm saying the resume is over because she's like, here is the resume. Yeah, Lacey Evans definitely took a hard spill on that one, but Peyton, she tapped out at that figure eight, and Charlotte had that arch popping, so, yeah. Sean was happy to see that.
yeah, so big up to Shaolin Shogun. His queen was successful again in this match. Unfortunately, it had to come at the expense of my fave, Pepe, Peyton Royce. But she did look good in this match, though, a lot better than her tag team partner, Lacey Evans. So maybe that'll be the story that they tell, is that Lacey Evans is holding Peyton Royce back. Peyton Royce dumps her, and then Peyton Royce pursues her singles career and becomes your Raw Women's Champion.
Now, before Danny DeVille, she don't play like that. But Peyton said she's teasing the character change, so keep your eyes open for that.
Okay. All right. Maybe she's going back to the Poison Ivy like she was in NXT. That would be cool. Sheamus, Keith Lee, and Drew McIntyre face off against AJ Styles, The Miz, and John Morrison in a holiday street fight. Drew sends AJ into a Christmas tree. He then power bombs AJ onto a table covered in eggnog. Sheamus has a kendo stick. He attacks John Morrison. Morrison hits back with a kendo stick of his own. Drew and The Miz are in the middle of the ring. Drew wants Claymore, but Sheamus tags himself in. He's looking for the bro kick, but Keith Lee tags himself in. Keith Lee pushes Morrison into Tall Bruce Leroy. Tall Bruce Leroy drops Morrison on the table, just like he did The Miz. We get the spirit bomb to The Miz from Keith Lee for the win. So Sheamus, Keith Lee, and Drew McIntyre are your winners. You know, the typical Vince McMahon WWE holiday street fight match where people get hit with Christmas trees and eggnog and food and presents and garland and all that type of stuff. But after the match, Drew holds Keith Lee and Sheamus' hands in the air to signify the victory. And that's when Sheamus bro kicks Keith Lee, knocks him out. Drew screams that he vouched for Sheamus. He told Keith Lee he was cool. What the f*** are you doing, Sheamus? And that is how Raw ends for this week.
Man. Tall Bruce Leroy catching, you know, Morrison, just dropping him like a bad habit, had me rolling.
Yeah, man. Tall Bruce Leroy starting to, in the last couple of weeks, get a little bit more involved, some physicality in these matches. Yeah, he's definitely he's so big, man. Grabbing Miz and Morrison and just tossing them around through tables is pretty comedic at this point, just due to the size differential of this guy. But again, furthering a little bit more of a split between Drew and his so-called friends. Sheamus and Keith Lee have some issues. You know how it is. It's like, you know, you don't like one of your friends' friends, but because y'all have a mutual friend, y'all kind of cool either, anyway. So that looks like the story that they're telling between Sheamus and Keith Lee. But yeah, I'm pretty intrigued by this little twist here and see what we get going into main event. Do you think it's going to be Sheamus and Drew at Royal Rumble for the title? I think that's what they're probably.
It could be a possibility. It could be a possibility. Possibility, possibility.
Sheamus and Drew at Royal Rumble, right? This is not my original idea. I'm stealing this. So I'm not going to take credit like I just thought this up out of the magic booking of Don DeLaurentiis' mind. But Sheamus and Drew at Royal Rumble. Keith Lee turns heel and gets recruited and becomes a member of the Hurt Business. Keith Lee wins the Royal Rumble and then beats Drew at WrestleMania, and the Hurt Business got all the belts.
Wow. So basically, you're saying that they're going to be the UE of the main roster.
Yeah, there you go. All go everything.
That could be something that happens. But Vince wouldn't let all black guys hold those top titles in the company.
If Vince is worried about his ratings on USA, he would, because you know. We all would be showing up every week like, oh, it's the Black Champions Wrestling Show. Time to watch TV, y'all.
Yeah, we definitely would be. definitely would be ratings up.
Yeah, he'd be like, man, this demographic, where'd they come from? It's like, well, I've been waiting for you to do something like this for 25 years, Vince.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just a little something I saw. Like I said, I'm not going to take credit for that. I saw that little booking of Keith Lee long term, and I was like, oh, that would be kind of cool. That sounds like it would be a good plan. Like,
that would be something that you didn't expect to happen either.
Right, right, right. So yeah, I would be here for that. Even though I think it would be a little early to put the title on Keith Lee, I think he'd kind of be like Braun, where he, you know, maybe get one defense and then drop it. But for the short time, though, if you had all your major champions as black guys, oh man, yeah, the ratings would go through the roof for us because we would show up and show out every week.
For real.
Yeah, they thought that was something. They thought the ratings was up when Kofi was a champ. Oh man. But your thoughts, sir, on Monday Night Raw from this week as a whole?
Slight improvement. You know, slight improvement from what we've been watching. Like segments, certain segments that happened. So yeah. Definitely just want to see where things are going to go with like Drew Sheamus and Keith Lee, where that's going to go. Definitely want to see what the new women's tag team, where that storyline is going to go, who they're going to get the challenge next. That's about it. All I can think of for right now. Like I said, it was a solid show. I'll probably give it 3.5 out of 5. I give that rating.
Yeah, I think about the same as well. The show didn't seem to have as many dead spots in it for me as the previous couple of weeks did. It seemed like it had a little bit better pacing to it. Just in general, I'm really liking, even though it's kind of an odd couple, the AJ, Miz, and John Morrison trio. They seem to play well off of each other during the interview segments, especially John Morrison and AJ Styles. They seem to have some really good comedic timing between each other there. Like that, Tall Bruce Leroy is starting to assert himself more, speaking up, getting more physical in the matches as well.
He did, yeah. He did speak last night. He said, don't trust him.
There really wasn't a really like blow away wrestling match on here, just straight up
ring,
you know, Matt classic. So this was just a lot of, you know, regathering of the stories, resetting of the stories and things like that, getting everything set up to head towards the long build towards Royal Rumble. So I thought that this was a good show to, you know, build some groundwork, set up the Miz trying to get the Money in the Bank briefcase back on a technicality. So it looks like that's going to be a major story going forward for the next couple of weeks to see if he can, you know, use that loophole and get that briefcase back, and if he's going to try to re-cash it in again, and if he's successful this next time. But yeah, like you, I thought this was about a 3 out of 5 episode of Monday Night Raw. So at this time, Mr. Mo to the underscore, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Well, shout-out to you, Don, another episode in the can. Shout-out to our WrestleCast family, Miss Semi, Jane to the Max, Terry's Boy, and Aaron Wall-Starwin. Shout out to everybody who be in the hashtags with us. Word Exclaim, Roll Up Sunny, Madame Lizette, Cammy D, Jula, who was wondering who was the black dude with Carmella doing the live tweet on Sunday. It'd be funny that those who don't see, who don't watch weekly with us, and they watch on the pay-per-view, and they'll say, who's this black, who's so-and-so that just showed up on our screen? Shout-out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout-outs. Classic Greg, Sam, Dee Dee Jonay, our WrestleBays, The Glow. Shout-out to NBA being back over the night. So, you know, got a lot going on. Hope y'all have a great holiday and enjoy, hug up on your loved ones, stay 6 feet away, and, you know, be safe. That's it for me.
I'd like to thank Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese for another week of being my co-host here on the broadcast. Definitely appreciate you stepping in this year and helping me pilot this ship through this 2020 year of pandemic and change. So greatly appreciate you. Merry Christmas to all of the listeners out there listening to the WrestleCast and all the shows here on the CSPN. Hope everybody has a great holiday. Stay safe, stay healthy. Like Mo said, keep your distance, wear your masks. Just be vigilant. Be diligent and don't take things for granted. Shout out to all the Wrestle Bays and members of the Glow, Terry's Boy, Anwar Starwin, Miss Simi, Jay to the Max, Didi Jonay, Sam and Greg, everybody who joins us in the live tweet, like Maury said, each and every week. We greatly appreciate you guys sharing your commentary with color. So much fun. Helps keep Raw especially more entertaining than what they provide us on a week-to-week basis. Also support the show by giving a little bit of your time and money over to the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. There you can find extra content provided by the WrestleCast. We also have the Dark Match, where we have our AEW reviews, where me and Miss Simi break down AEW each and every week. All you have to do is become a patron over on the Patreon page, sign up for the $3 or $5 tier, and you will receive the extra bonus content each and every week from us here at CSPN and the WrestleCast. Also, head over to CSPN.us, click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. You've only got one more day to do some shopping for Christmas, and it may get to your house on time or it may not, but you can still buy it through CSPN.us and Amazon. All you have to do is click on that tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Click on the Amazon link and do your shopping, and some of your purchase comes back to the CSPN to help keep the WrestleCast, the RawCast, NXT Cast, SmackDown Matters free of charge each and every week. So once again, for my co-host, Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. Merry Christmas, and stay tuned for the parting promo.
Peace.
You got a lot of problems, man. Try to just...